Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Vintage Church North. If I have not met you, my name is Tanner Griffith. I'm one of our pastors here, and we're so glad to have you this morning. I see the Woods in the house with the twins, I imagine. Oh, that's amazing. Man, I just got distracted by them. I'm so glad you are here. We have an incredible family here at our church, and we want to, if you're not connected, man, we would love to get you connected at Vintage Church North. God is doing amazing things in the life of this church. It takes a lot of work to get like stuff to look a different way in this church. Doesn't it look good in this place? I mean, did you see that tree out there? That was like stunning. I want to thank Jessica Huey, the whole Huey family. I mean, just did a ton of work. If you were involved in any of the Advent calendar or any of the decorations, could you stand in our church? I was helping with some of it. Y'all got to stand. You were doing a lot. Amy Jones is in here somewhere. No, she's probably in kids this morning. Jason will let you stand for it. But anyway, there are a lot of people that I just wanted to say thank y'all. Thank you so much. It takes a lot of like time and effort to get a lot of this done and just to even make things look beautiful. And I want to thank y'all for it. That does let me, you just heard me say, if you helped serving the, creating the Advent calendar, that means, hey, we've got an Advent calendar for you guys. We're going to let you know about it. Along with our giving tree is a 14-foot Fraser fir. So you got to go buy it and pick up a tag for our giving tree and pick up an Advent calendar. Both of these things are tools for our hearts in this season. One thing that I just want to point out to you about our Advent calendar is it's following everything we've been talking about with our Advent conspiracy, which is like we want to help our hearts change over this season. So you'll notice in all of the tags in the Advent calendar as you're doing them, they're ways at your heart primarily. So man, do this as a family. I would love to let you know they're just most of the tags. So when it says like December 1st, they're designed for you to like open first thing in the morning. So if you're not like a morning family, you might want to do the calendar the night before. Does that make sense? So pick up an Advent calendar. It is at the Giving Tree. At the Giving Tree, there is all of our teams on the advanced team have given us their ministry's needs. So Salvation Army is out there. Safe Families is out there. Kevin's ministry. We've got a ton of ministries out on that team. So basically, you're going to be helping us advance the gospel in our city, loving our city by providing for these real people, these real ministries that are really doing a lot of amazing things. So if you would, please get involved in that. Take a few, however your family can afford. Man, get them in, involved in giving and loving our city over this time. With that, that's my announcements for this morning. Outside of, actually, I forgot one. Let me tell you one more. We have prayer next weekend. We're doing Advent prayer. It's Morning with Jesus. It is next Saturday, December 1st. If you could, please sign up today. Like, we want to know how many folks are coming. We already have a lot signed up. So let us know. We're trying to figure out how many houses we need. So we're thinking it's going to be multiple houses. If you could, there's an Eventbrite that we sent out by email. If you need it, please come talk to me after the service. This prayer that we're doing is going to be from 9 to 11:30 at one of our houses in our churches. And we're going to just make time and space to be with God and to really help our hearts focus on his coming in this Advent season. So those are our announcements this morning. There's a lot of ways to get plugged in to our church. We're going to be talking today about Jesus Christ as our King. In Revelation, we get to see this picture. John, the apostle, lets us in on this prophetic vision that he's had. And it begins and it ends with Jesus Christ. The whole book begins and ends with Jesus Christ. Advent is a season of where we look at the world, how it really is, We get to see all the pains, all the suffering, and it makes us long and want our King, the King of Kings, to come and make all things new. So we're going to look at that today in Revelation. What I want to just start with, if you can remember one thing, is he is coming. Behold, he is coming, and he's going to make everything new. Let me pray for us. Jesus Christ, help us see you today. Help us see you as the coming King. God, in this passage this morning, there's just depths of riches. And God, I pray that today that people out of all of this would find you as their ultimate treasure. God, would you help us in this time to hear what you want us to hear, to see what you need us to see, convict where you need to convict us. And God, would you help us in this message even know how to walk out our faith in the lives of those that are right around us and even to the ends of the earth. It's in Jesus' great name that we make this prayer. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can flip to the very last book in the Bible. We're going to be in Revelation. The complete title of this book is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you hear people call it Revelations. It's not that. It's The Revelation of Jesus Christ is the title of this book. We're going to be in the first chapter. If you do not have a Bible, I want to encourage you to either download one on your phone, or we've got free print copies out in the back. We would love to give you a Bible that you could use in our services. We're going to be in verses 4b through 8. And I want to read it one more time for us, just to refocus us on this passage. John was one of Jesus's apostles, and he was known as the beloved. He knew he was loved by God. He was the beloved apostle, and he is imprisoned on this island. His persecution has sent him off to like just isolation on the Isle of Patmos. And it is here that he has a vision from our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in verses 4 through 8 that we'll read today. So let me read this for us. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sin by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. There's a weight to that reading. There's a weight to this book. It starts off with the reality of God, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, who was, and is to come. Jesus would put it as this: I am the truth. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. It begins with everything in God. Everything here is about the God who is all from beginning to end, the God who consumes, the God who is always present with us. In the passage, the center of this passage that we're reading today is, behold, he is coming. This is Advent. If you haven't heard that word before, that just kind of means you probably haven't been to like an Anglican or Catholic, maybe like a Presbyterian church that basically uses this language a lot. For a lot of us, we grew up in different churches. We never really celebrated Advent. We celebrated Christmas. There was always Christmas decorations around, you know, after, sometime after Thanksgiving. They're put up in our churches. We always knew it looked special, but it kind of felt like it was always about this one day, December 25th, and it was going to be just about Christmas. Christmas and Advent are two different things. Advent is a historical season that the church has always basically used in the life of its members to help create a longing, to help us understand the reality that Jesus is coming. And I mean that future facing. Jesus is coming. Advent is not about a season primarily that's only about he did come. Advent is about a season of looking that he is coming. And this passage today will say, behold. If you're going to pay attention to something, pay attention to the next coming. Because he is coming again. Advent is a season that actually helps us settle down and try not to avoid the realities of our world. I mean, just think of the realities in America alone. This is not just the whole world in about the last month. We've got wildfires burning Southern California right now. I don't know if you've read any of the stories. They're horrifying. You've got within about the last month, Jewish synagogue was shut up. We know that the guy who shot up Kroger, he attempted to walk into an African-American church that was locked before he went and shoots up the Kroger. After that, this country music bar is shut up. I mean, this is in the last month. Advent invites us to look at the world as it is. To say, we need help. Something is not right. The world in which we live is weary. It's broken. And not only the world is weary, the world is mired in sin, so are we. Advent invites us into looking at the world as it really is, which for a lot of us are like, man, what a depressing season. Kind of, okay? The end, though, of like looking, here's what I would say it is. Advent strangely invites us to look not only at the birth of Jesus Christ, that he came once, it actually invites us to look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Which is a terrifying thing. But we know with the reality of the cross defeated and conquered all our sin. It is interesting when we enter into Advent and look at the world as it is and we see Jesus Christ in the midst of it all, we will find at the end, he is coming. And he is going to make all the stuff that is not right, every single thing in our lives, in our sin that's wrong, every broken thing within us, everything that is done to us, everything that has been done by us, all the systems and the structures of this world that oppress, all the systems that basically take the poor and push them to the side, put certain folks in prison. There are folks in China right now that are imprisoned wrongly just because they're Christians. They're ministering. There's these, it takes every single system, structure, person, all the evil, everything broken in the world, everything broken in the universe. Advent is about God's coming. Jesus Christ is coming, and he's going to make it all new. He is coming. Do not forget, it's not just that he came once 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. He is coming again, and when he comes again, it is a beautiful picture. The end of the book of Revelation tells us what that is like, and it's going to be like this glorious wedding day. This bride is going to be prepared. We are the bride. And our preparation is through all the suffering that we live in. And this preparation of life is weirdly Christ in the midst of it. And God is using all of it to make us beautiful. That one day, God is going to come out of the clouds. This new Jerusalem is going to come out of the clouds, and he will dwell with us, and he will make a new heaven and new earth, and everything will be right. And this is what Advent is about. Jesus Christ is coming, and he is King. It's a season. The next 4 weeks that we're going over, it's all about looking to him. It's all about looking at the world as it really is. Looking at the relationships that are around us that are just in the midst of a lot of pain and suffering. And Advent tries to get us to this, really. We can't fix ourselves. This is what Advent's all about. If it's on you, it's hopeless. And I mean that in the darkest possible way I can say it. Like, I really want you to get, like, this is depressing. If it's on you, everything is hopeless. Good thing it's not on you. Advent is trying to create in our hearts a, come to me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. I have to be saved. I am out, like, I cannot match what everything that's coming at me. I cannot get out of this. I cannot solve all the world's problems. I cannot solve all my problems. Advent is about, save me, Jesus. Come into my world and save me. Who's coming? Let's look at verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I mean, it becomes this great line, behold. In the Bible, the word behold is trying to get your attention. Look up. Pay attention. Check this out. If you're going to pay attention to anything, pay attention to this. He is coming. Jesus Christ has come. He was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. But listen to this. He is coming. He is coming again. Who is this Jesus that is coming? Here we get to see in this passage, it's the King of all the rulers on the earth. It is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the one that is coming into our dark world. Just like the world that he, when it came into, when he was here the first time, he came into this broken world. This world that when he came into it, a little bit after he was born, a ruler decided, let's just kill all the boys in this area of the country under 2 years old. Is that a pretty dark world? That's a dark world. He had to flee his own country. He goes to Egypt. They flee down to Egypt. Then he has to make the journey back out of Egypt, back to the town called Nazareth. I mean, it is a dark and broken world. When we look at our world, are there stories like that going on nowadays? Are there major things of violence going on in the world? People having to flee, go to different houses, they don't have things. This is a similar world. It is a dark world. Jesus came into the darkness. And he's going to come into our dark world again. But this time, everything's going to be remade. He's going to make every single thing new. Our world is so broken. You can see it all around us. Natural disasters. The storms. The hurricanes. The droughts. The famine. The plagues. It all brings with it death. Our world is broken. Our universe is broken. And Jesus is going to come into that world. And he's going to make it new. He's going to make a new heavens, new earth. And he's not just going to fix like the things that are like evil in terms of like deeds being done, but he's going to fix all the broken stuff in our universe. He's going to remake that. He's going to come into our world in terms of our systems, all the structures that are coming and oppress others. And it's just evident. I mean, again, the government that was in Jesus' town at the time just makes, hey, you know, let's kill all these kids at this certain age. We get to see this all over the world. There are systems and structures in our world that are totally evil. They're working against people. And Jesus is going to come into that world and he is going to come and destroy that evil. He's going to make everything new. And then finally, we need to realize what he's coming into is he's coming to each one of us. Advent is a season not just to look outside at everything that's wrong, but to look within. It is a time for us to consider, who are we? This is why every single service, we do have a time of confession. It's a time for us to be honest, to look at all the wrongs, all the sin within ourselves. Jesus Christ is coming to make us new. And that is incredibly good news. We will be made new. The universe will be made new. The systems of the world will be made new. We will be made new. And this is what's going on in Revelation 1. It is an amazing thing. Who is this king? From this passage, it's almost hard to distinguish between, okay, who's getting talked about here? Is it God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? There's a lot of like weird language in Revelation 1. But here's what we know about this passage and what we know about Jesus. We know that it's talking about Jesus the King, the one who is God, the one who is fully man, fully God. And he is the Messiah from the Old Testament, the one from the very beginning of the Old Testament that was promised, the one that was promised to deal with all evil that entered into the world through Adam and Eve, the one who was promised of Abraham. Abraham, I will give you a seed. This son, he'll be a blessing to all nations on the earth. The one who was promised to David, as we read in Psalm 32, there's going to be a son from you that sits on the throne. There's going to be a king that sits on the throne forever. That is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is that king. But how does he deal with us? How's the relationship with the king with us? Revelation 1:6 tells us this. The King of Kings is like this towards us. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he thinks about you in a certain way. He feels a certain way about you. And here, the two words that like just stand off the page, he's loved you and he's freed you. He loves us. To him who loves us. This is talking about Jesus. To him who loves us and freed us. These are two things that we need to consider in our own lives. You are loved and you are freed. In Jesus Christ, when we have confessed like in him and put our all of our hope and faith in him, these two things are our realities, that he has loved us and he has freed us. You are not bound by your sin because of Jesus Christ, if that's true. There are certain things that you are going to struggle with, but I'm telling you, that struggle in and of itself is actually a tool. Paul actually tells us this in the book of Corinthians. He has this weakness. He calls it a thorn in his side. And the thorn in the side, this thing that kind of constantly bugged him, that he would say, maybe, I don't feel like I'm totally freed from this. He kind of realized, oh, this was a way to like make me dependent on the love and grace of God. Here's what everyone needs to know in this room. God, in his son, Jesus Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, he has loved you. He loves us. Jesus Christ, the King, he has loved you and he has freed you. This freedom was costly. It tells us in this passage that he has freed us by his blood. The incredible thing, one of the incredible passages in Revelation is in chapter 5. And I want to read this passage to you really quick. It's crazy to think of the King of Kings, the way he freed you was the same way he became king. And it's by a cross. Which is just not how most kings of man become kings. You know, most kings become kings by you step into power, you defeat the king, you are born into it, you like literally overtake another kingdom, so you become king, you do it in power. Our king does it so differently. If you have your Bible, I want you to just flip with me to Revelation 5. I don't have this on the screen. I want you to just hear this passage read over you. And this is in Revelation 5, 1 to 10. John sees the scene. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures, among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you were ransomed. You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on earth. The scroll is brought into this scene. It is placed in God the Father's hand. It cannot be opened, and there is weeping. There's no one who is worthy to open the scroll. And did you see that phrase? The people cry out, the lion of the tribe of Judah is here. Did you see that? So he hears the song, the lion of the tribe of Judah is here, the king. That is the king. The king is here. So he hears that. Do you know what he sees? Not a lion. A slain lamb. That is our king. Our king when he comes, he doesn't come like a lion to us. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But when you see him, he's a slain lamb. And it's his death. It was his sacrifice that freed us. And interestingly, I love how they, in their praise, they say, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah has come. He has conquered. You know how he conquered? He died. It's so backwards to the way we think. The way he conquers is he was sacrificed. He died for your sins. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He cannot be stopped, but he is so different than what we think of. When you see him coming, he will be a gentle lamb. That his blood was poured out for you. That's the way he both became king and the way he freed you. His life was given for you. Advent offers us this incredible picture of this king who is coming. The one who is the Lamb of God that was slain for us, for our sins, for our freedom. The Lamb who rose from the dead, victorious over all things, has ascended into heaven. And he has so much power that he can undo this scroll that no one can undo. This Lamb. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Advent offers us the time to say, you know what? Our world is broken and it is hurting. And in a lot of ways, it reminds us of a cross. And the way we conquer in this season is to not be victorious by not suffering. It's to suffer like Jesus. It's for us to be lambs. Advent reminds us that we will have our own crosses, that we will have our own suffering. But suffering is not the end. With God, suffering is never the end. The worst thing of our life is never the last thing, as Frederick Buechner says. It's never the last thing. Resurrection is the last thing. The new heavens and the new earth are the last thing for us who believe in Jesus Christ. Behold, this king is coming, the king that is the slain lamb of God, the one who died for our sins, who freed us by his death, the one who became king by his death. I mean, it's such a crazy thing. On his cross, they put on the top of his cross in every language of the known world, "This is the King of the Jews." And they thought they were mocking him. And Jesus was announcing, "You just coronated me. What you are using for evil, I am using for good. Where you came to mock me, I come to take it and use this as my crown upon my head." He did not come to destroy you. He came to lay down his life for you. And when he comes again, he is going to make every single thing new. This is the way of Jesus. This is the way of our King into the darkness. When he sees our dark world, you know what he does? He enters into it. You know what he did when he left? He says, you know what he's doing with us? Is he has become in our world through his church. He is using us to be in the midst of this broken world and to carry our own crosses, to love those who are hard to love, to serve those that are around us. He has offered us his way to walk in this world, which the way of conquering is the way of dying. But it is those people that will find life and abundant life. Revelation 21, 3 through 6, I'll throw this on the board. You get the beginning of the book is where we started, the one who is, who was, and is to come. And John wraps up his book like this. At the very end, he says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be them, with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment.'" This is our future. This is our future. There is no realer thing. There is no more real thing. I know I just said a fake word, realer. There is no more real thing than this. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, is coming. He is coming and he cannot be stopped. He will wipe every tear from every eye. Death shall be no more. He will make a new heavens, a new earth. He will restore all things to his original design. And he cannot be stopped. He is the King of Kings. Behold, he is coming. He is coming to make everything new. And he is going to give life from that water, those waters, the spring of life to anyone without any cost. He's going to pour it out on top of all of us. Isn't that a beautiful vision? Here's what I want to invite you into over the next weeks of the Advent season. Look at the hard things of this world. Look at them. Look at the hard things in your life. For some of us, parenting season is a hard thing right now. For some of us, the parenting mixed with the marriage is too much. For some of us, the job. For some, it's some relational things. For some of us, it's some internal mental stuff, you know, and emotional stuff that we've got going on. Sit and look at it. Look at the hard things. The goal is to not be depressed by those, but to be honest about those. There's a difference. My hope for you is that after you look at those things in reality, that you'll know you need a Savior. He has come, and He is coming. And He's going to make everything new. He is our hope. And if He doesn't come, we're hopeless. Let's this season, let's live like that. That if He doesn't come, we're hopeless. Let me pray. Jesus Christ, You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This morning we come to just state that reality. God, would You help us in this season of Advent that's coming up the next 4 weeks to be honest with ourselves, to see our world as it is. And God, would You help us know that You are coming, You are returning, and You will make all things right and all things new. God, today, would You work in only the way You can in all of our ears, in all of our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.